7. You can flip over there if you would for just a moment. And as a matter of fact, in Luke chapter number 7, Luke writes about two ladies that are unique to his gospel. What I mean is this story is found only here in Luke's gospel. And both of these ladies received a gift that they would never forget. And I just want to look at one of them for a few moments this morning before we go, and then we'll look at the other one in the service this evening, a gift for the ladies. The first lady is what I would refer to as a sad widow, a gift for a sad widow. The reading begins in verse number 11 here in chapter number 7. It came to pass that the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. And when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, notice now, he had compassion on her. And saith unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and said, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now think about it now. He's speaking to a dead corpse. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. The Bible says in verse 16 that there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about Galilee. So the Bible tells us that Jesus is traveling through a city, entering into a city in Galilee. The little city is called Nain. There's a large crowd of people that are traveling with him. And as he comes to the gate of the city, and by the way, at the gate of the city, there would also be a large crowd of people. It was sort of the business center of cities, of ancient cities, the gate of the cities where people would gather to do business. And so it would have been a busy place. They got to the gate of the city, and there happened to be a funeral procession going outside the city to bury a man. A man had died, and they were carrying him outside for burial, and the man was the only child of his mother. And that is, his father was already dead, and his mother, therefore, was a widow. And now here she is, and it's her only son, and he also has died, and she has absolutely nobody left. She is grieving deeply. She is a sad widow. She not only was grieving over the loss of her son, but also because of the uncertainty of her future. What I mean is this, in this society, without a man now to care for her, it'd be extremely difficult for her to be able to survive. It would not be unusual for women in her situation without a husband and without a son, without any male relatives, because of the society they lived in, to sell themselves into slavery or to become a prostitute. At least then they would have food in that time period. Well, the Bible tells us here that it was at this moment that the Lord arrived on the scene. The Lord has a way of showing up at just the right time, doesn't he? Ladies, listen to me now. One day there was a woman down there by Jacob's well getting ready to draw a drink of water. And you know what? Who was sitting there waiting for her at just the right time? Well, it was him, wasn't it? And now we find that here's a woman who is about ready to bury her son, and her heart is broken, her life is destroyed, her future is gone. She has absolutely nothing but helplessness and hopelessness ahead of her. And all of a sudden, he just has a way of showing up on the scene at exactly the right time. Before the day is over, the mother received the greatest gift, I guess, that a mother has ever received. And that is, her son was delivered back to her. In the story, what stands out to me are two things, and obviously the story revolves around these two things. One of them is just the compassion of our Savior. The Bible tells us there in verse number 13 that our Lord was moved with compassion when he saw the widow and he saw her weeping and crying, and no doubt the others who were with her were also grieving as well. And our Lord was moved on the inside. He was motivated to meet her need. He had compassion on her. There are several things about this that I notice, and that is, first of all, Jesus saw her situation. Jesus took notice of her. In other words, our Lord knew exactly what it was that she was experiencing, what she was going through. And of course, it was obvious because of the funeral procession. But I believe that our Lord knew what was coming before he ever got to the gate, don't you? And that is that he knew that she was going to be there, and he knew that it was going to be the need in her life. He saw her situation. That really helps me because it reminds me that if the Lord knew all about her situation, then surely he knows all about mine. Amen. And he knows all about yours. And I know that some of you are here, and after hearing the testimony that we just heard, God is weighing heavily on your heart and dealing with you in areas of your life. And you might be here, and like Becky, maybe you've never really met the Lord, even though you've been in church, and God is just dealing with your heart, that void, empty place in your life, well, it's just him. I want you to know that the Lord knows all about your situation. He sees everything about it, just like he did with this woman as well. Did you know that he knows everything that we're going through? Some of you going through some things, he knows all about what you're going through. Did you know that he knows everything that you need? As a matter of fact, what I'm discovering in my life in the process is that he knows better what I need than I know what I need. I don't even know what I need like he knows what I need. And the reason why is because what I think I need may not be what I need at all. As a matter of fact, the worst thing that can happen in my life if I get everything I want, everything that I think I need, if I get it, it'll be the worst thing that ever happened to me. And so glad that God doesn't give me what I think I need, but he certainly knows what it is I need. You see, God is omniscient. He knows. He saw her situation. The second thing is that he cared about her sorrow. He not only saw her situation, but he cared about her sorrow. When he saw her weeping, our Lord was moved on the inside with compassion or care about her. And the reason why I like that is because it reminds me of the fact that he not only cares about this woman, but he also cares about me and about my situation. And he also cares about you and about yours. That is, those of you that are in the middle of a situation, God sees it, and he cares about the sorrow that you are experiencing. He knows your sorrow, and he cares. He cares. He not only saw her situation, and he not only cared about her sorrow, but then Jesus spoke to her soul. Words that I are difficult. Just two words, weep not. Listen, I've stood by a lot of caskets where there are mothers who are grieving, wives who are grieving, fathers who are grieving. I've watched them walk away after seeing their loved one's body for the last time and seeing the brokenness on their hearts. I remember one dear lady that's unrelated to our church in any way, and I was doing the funeral for her husband, had been married for years and years, and when she walked away, she looked at me and she hugged my neck and she whispered in my ear, and she says, "I feel like I'm leaving my heart behind." And I've seen the tears. But one of the things that I have never said, in all the times that they've walked by and I've shook those hands, I've never said, "Stop your crying." I couldn't. They're grieving and they're weeping and they're crying, and how arrogant it would be for me to say, "Weep not." I mean, stop that crying. There is no need for you to be crying. And the reason why, obviously, is because there was a reason why they were crying. But I tell you that our Lord is able to say those words. Amen. He's able to say, "Weep not." And the reason why is because divine life has come on the scene. Amen. I mean, he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life, and he has stepped onto the scene. And he says to her, "You don't need to weep. Weep not." He's speaking words of comfort to her because Jesus knew what he was about to do. He was about to turn her weeping into rejoicing. He's got something good planned in a bad situation. You know, God's just like that. And some of you, as I mentioned before, may be in a bad situation. It may be that God's got something really good planned. Amen. We've heard testimony this morning about a bad situation. We've heard about a bad marriage. We've heard a lot about a bad lifestyle of drinking and drugs. And we've heard about the destruction that was right there. God stepped into a bad situation. Amen. And turned it around. You see, the Lord saw our situation. He cared about her sorrow. He spoke to her soul, "Weep not," and then he delivered her son, didn't he? The Bible says in the story that we just read that Jesus came and he touched the bier. That's sort of like an open casket that they would be carrying his body on. And that is that they would have been burying him later the same day that he died. So it'd be maybe late in the afternoon and they were carrying his body to bury it. And the Bible says that he actually touched that bier that they were bearing his body on. Now you all know this already, don't you? But this would be something that a Jew would never do. And the reason why is because he would be considered ceremonially unclean if he touched the body or anything that was in contact with the body. And then all of a sudden the Lord just reaches out and he just touches it. And it's amazing to me that as he touches the bier, the Bible says that they that bear him, they all of a sudden, they're just standing still now. And then Jesus spoke. He spoke to the young man that was lying there, his corpse, and he said, "I say unto thee, arise." It's interesting, there are three resurrections in the New Testament that our Lord performed. There was the daughter of Jairus. Remember the little 12-year-old girl that was dead, and Jesus went into her home and raised her from the dead. And then of course there was the great resurrection of Lazarus, the one who was in the tomb, Mary and Martha's brother, who was in the tomb for 4 days. And in each one of those three instances where Jesus raised somebody from the dead, he actually spoke to the dead. He actually spoke to the little girl. He said, "I say unto thee, arise, young maiden, arise." And did you know that she did? She woke up out of that death and she got up and Jesus took her out and then gave her to her parents. Do you know that when Lazarus was in the tomb and his body was lying there wound in those linen cloth, you remember what Jesus said to Lazarus as he stood and the stone was rolled away? He called out his name and he spoke to Lazarus and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And you all remember that Lazarus came waddling out of the grave and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And on this occasion, the other time where Jesus raised some body from the dead, he also spoke to the dead. Now you and I probably wouldn't do that, but he sure can. I mean, Jesus can say things that you and I can't. He can say to a sorrowing widow, "Weep not." And he can say to a dead man, "A young man, I say unto thee, arise, why don't you go ahead and get up?" Now, I've said that a lot of times. I mean, there were a lot of years that I walked into the bedroom of a young man and I said, "Young man, it is time to get up." Amen, Jason? A lot of times, amen. And I can do that if he's just asleep. But I can't walk up to a young man that's dead and say, "I say unto thee, arise and get up." If I do, you may look at me and think that something is wrong to me. But listen, Jesus can. And we find here that our Lord is being highlighted as being the Son of God, that his deity highlighted for us here in this passage of Scripture, and that he can say things that you and I cannot. And do you know that after Jesus spoke to him, the Bible says that he did just that? That is, he sat up. Think about it now. This young man is now setting up. Can you imagine being in a funeral procession and all of a sudden the corpse stands up, sits up? It would be a moment. Amen. Unforgettable. That's the reason why later on the Bible says that the rumor of this kind of began to spread. Well, I would imagine it probably did, wouldn't you? And the young man not only sat up, but he spoke up. The Bible says that he began to talk. He began to speak. My imagination runs wild here. I'm trying to figure out what he would have said. I mean, he's been dead and now he's alive and I wonder what he said. I would like to have taken a little survey, but I'm afraid what some of you might say that he said. I don't know what he said. When I thought about it, I thought about Frosty the Snowman. I know that's a little strange, but I am a little bit. And I wondered if he stood up and said, "Happy birthday." I mean, I don't know. What did he say? Maybe he looked over at his mom and said, "Mom, I'm really, really, really hungry. I mean, what is for dinner?" I don't know what he said. He may have just been praising and worshiping our Lord, who just raised him from the dead. You know what Jesus did? The Bible says that after the Son rose up and spoke up, Then he got delivered up. Jesus delivered him to his mother. Helped him down off of the bier and said, "Here he is. Here's your son." There's never been a mother receive quite a gift like that. You know, the Lord really cared about her, didn't he? He loved her. He cared about her. You see his compassion towards her. But the other part of the story is not only the compassion of our Lord towards the mother, but also the resurrection of the son. And that is the greatest gift that this mother could have ever had that day. Wouldn't have been flowers, but it would be her son back. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He brought her son back to life. And Jesus therefore demonstrated his power to raise the dead. He's demonstrating his deity, obviously, in the Gospels. The Gospel writer Luke and the Holy Spirit is wanting for all of us to know that Jesus not only has authority over disease, he can heal the sick, and he not only has authority over demons, he can cast them out, but he has even authority over death. He can even raise those who are dead. And indeed, he can. Some of you are here and say, "Pastor, that would be the greatest gift, wouldn't it?" Some of you here, and you've lost a son. We've heard testimony of that a few moments ago. Or you've lost somebody else in your life. And you think, you know what, just to be able to hold him again or have him again or see him or her again. Well, if you'll hang around long enough, the Lord's going to show up again one of these days. Well, sure he is. He's going to come right through the gate. Now, it may not be the gate at Nain, but he's going to come right through the gate. And when he steps through the gate, the Bible tells us that there's going to be the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God is going to sound. And I believe, according to John chapter number 5, that our Lord is going to speak to the dead again. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the Bible says when Christ comes a second time, that when he comes, that those who are with him, those who died in the Lord, those believers who are with him right now, that they're going to come with him. And the Bible says that their bodies are going to be raised from the dead. They're going to be raised and reunited with their souls from heaven. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 about the fact that this body that's going to be raised is going to be a glorified body. Not the old diseased body, but it's going to be a glorified body raised from the dead. And the Bible says that those of us who are alive at the time that Christ comes, we're not going to prevent or stand in the way of those who have died, those believers who have died. They're going to be raised from the dead. And then the Bible says that we're all going to be caught up into the air to meet the Lord in the air. So Christ is going to return. He's going to raise those who have died. He's going to rapture us into his presence, into heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be reunited just like this mother and this son were reunited right here in this passage of Scripture. So if you'll hang around by the gate, one of these days, child of God, you'll realize how much Jesus cares about your sorrow and about your loss. And about what you're going through. You say, "Pastor, does he hear? Does he care? Is he near?" And indeed he is. And for those who know him, those who've received him, it won't be long. The gate's going to swing open. And he's going to come. And when he does, those who are believers are going to be united together in the air. Forever with the Lord. Amen. It's going to happen one of these days. Now listen, if you don't know him, you don't have that hope to look forward to. If you've never received Christ, you don't have that. That's why it's so important to know for sure that you really know, that you really know him. It's not a matter of just walking the aisle. It's not a matter of just repeating a prayer. But when God does that deep down work on the inside of your heart, it reveals to you how lost you are, how separated from him you are, how far you are, how helpless you are. When God does that deep work of conviction on the inside and brings you to the point where Jesus is the only one who can help you, and you cry out to him from a heart that is broken over sin, and crying out and clinging to Christ and what he did on the cross, it is right then and right there that God will save you. And when God saves you, when he comes into your life, becomes the Lord of your life, you'll know it. Nobody will have to tell you. I won't have to prop you up and tell you that you're saved. I won't have to give you 1,000 assurance verses. The Holy Spirit living on the inside of you will be your assurance. You will know when God saves you. Amen. Those of you that are saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When God saves you, you know it. And listen to me now. When God saves you and you know it, then you have this hope that we see portrayed for us here in the Scripture. You see, you and I are kind of like this young man lying there dead. Did you know the Bible says that before we come to Christ that we are indeed dead in trespasses and sins? That's exactly right. Dead in trespasses and sins. We're in the same condition that he is in. Dead in our sin, separated from God. And not only are we dead in sin, but we're helpless to do anything for ourselves. Just like this young man was, there was nothing that he could do. Those who are dead are helpless and they are hopeless. And that's where we're at. Before we get saved, we're sinners and we're helpless to do anything to save ourselves, helpless to do anything to make ourselves right with God or make ourselves any better. You can try everything you know to try to help your situation, but listen to me now, you're helpless and hopelessly lost if you've never received Christ. We're in the same condition that he was in. And listen to me now, but you may be hearing the same call that he heard. In other words, while he was still dead, Jesus took the initiative to come to him and he began to speak to him, calling him from death to life. And listen, that's what happens when God saves somebody, and that is the Lord takes the initiative to begin to operate in the heart that is dead in sin and dead towards God. And all of a sudden you begin to hear somebody speaking to you, not in your ear, but I tell you, on the inside of your heart. All of a sudden you begin to hear a faint voice in your heart and crying out to you and saying, listen, why don't you go ahead and arise? Why don't you go ahead and get up? Why don't you go ahead and live? And it's the Holy Spirit of God operating in your heart, revealing to you that you're lost and separated from God, and Jesus died for you so that you could have life. All of a sudden, you begin to hear this call in the middle of your death. And I tell you, listen to me now, those who are lost in the same condition as this son who hear his call, those who surrender to him will experience conversion. So, Pastor, what do you mean? Just like he went from death to life, that's what happens when God saves a sinner. We who were dead in sin are now alive towards God. We have life. That's the difference. That's the difference. You see, religion will give you a set of standards to try to live up to, but salvation will give you life on the inside, in your heart. Folks, the greatest gift that anybody could ever receive was received by this mother. You know what it is, don't you? It's life. Life. One of these days those who are dead will live. But it could be today that somebody who is dead can live. Dead in sin, separated from God. And he's speaking to you. He's trying to get you just to get honest with him. Just to get honest with him about what's on the inside of your heart, so you can see where you're at, so you can see the death and the darkness, so you can come to him as a sinner, lost, separated from him, broken over sin, and clinging to the Savior as the only one who can help you. There may be somebody who's dead who needs life today. There's a man who can do it. And his name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your truth. Father, I thank you for what you're saying to us and for the example of this sad widow who received the great gift of life. I pray, Father, that you would operate in such a way, Father, that you would speak to hearts. God, in such a way that those, Father, who are here that are lost and without hope would just be honest with you about their condition. those who've walked the aisles and who've joined the churches and been as religious as they can be, but there's still something missing on the inside. Still empty of life and peace. God, would you do that work that only you can do? Thank you for the wonderful gift that you gave to this mother. You gave her son back. But God, thank you that you gave a wonderful gift to the young man. You gave him life. And I pray, Father, for those who need that life, eternal life today. You do that work that only you can do. Draw that person to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.